Lord Jesus, thank you for your love towards us, unconditional, long-suffering, things that we admire in mums, and yet we find their source in you. And so we thank you that as we turn to hear your voice this morning, we can trust that you will speak tenderly as we require it. And sometimes you speak in ways to catch our attention in ways that we need. So Lord, now we ask that you would speak to us as our hearts require. Amen. Do you want me to grab a different mic? All right, grab your Bibles and turn them to Romans chapter 8. I've been pretty excited about the fact that we're getting close to Romans chapter 8 in our series. No secret that it's certainly one of my favourite chapters in the Bible and contains what I think to be potentially one of the most important, if I can be so bold to say that, one of the most important verses in the Bible as it relates, I would say, to your relationship with God this morning. Do I need to take this one all the way off? Get rid of it.
Let's try that. Better? All right, good. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I think is potentially the most important sentence in the Bible, especially as it relates to your relationship with God, and forms a foundation from which much of the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus will be built upon. For that reason, it's such an important verse, even though we're going to try and cover a fair bit of the chapter, not the whole chapter, but we're going to try and get a fair bit of this chapter done this morning. I want to slow down a bit at the front end of it and do a kind of, a bit of a, not a complete deep dive, but let's just slow down and not rush past this first sentence. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. It says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. Let's just pause there for a moment. So what I want to do is I want to highlight a few of these words. I'm going to sort of sketch them out for you in front of you. I want you to look at it in your Bible. I would encourage you, if grab a pen or a pencil in your private reading. If you have one now, you can do it. But highlight, mark your Bible up, all right? It's a good practice to get into. So the first thing that I want you to notice is that word therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So much of the early part of the book of Romans outlines, if you've been tracking through this series with us as a part of this church, that the early part of the book of Romans outlines the, this seems even a way of understating it, but the serious condition of sin, right? We've sort of deep dived in the early parts of Romans about just how significant sin is, not only in its destructive effect on our own lives, but especially in its sort of devastating impact on our relationship with our God. And so the real core of the matter as we think about sin is that where there is sin, there is death. We've sort of discovered that as we've been going through this. Sinners deserve condemnation. That's what the early part of Romans was telling us. And that's why the cross, that's why the gospel is such good news. That's why this therefore exists in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The therefore is kind of like a street sign that points you back to the first seven chapters of this book. there is therefore. Basically, in light of everything that we've just been talking about for the last seven chapters, this is important. All right? So that's why that therefore exists. Think about it for a moment. The chapter that we just looked at last week shows us the frustration and the despair that comes with sin's effect. So keep your finger in Romans chapter 8, but flick the page back and find Romans chapter 7 for a moment, just verse 21. Paul says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am." I want you to hear the tone of condemnation that exists. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then, of course, we have that beautiful answer, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right, our tendency as humanity is toward condemnation. We see and experience the frustrations of living in a sinful world with all its twists and corruptions. Even with the best of intentions, like Paul said, you know, I want to do what's right, but sin exists and it twists my intentions. So even with the best of intentions, Satan is there whispering in our ear, enticing your spirit to believe something that isn't true. And this is the crux of what Satan's message is. He might use different words, but here's what it is. You are a failure. God hates you. You're worthy of nothing more than the full force of God's condemnation. Now, I can't speak to you this morning as a mum. I have no experience in that matter. I can speak to you as a dad. And as a dad, I share something in common with mums. I'm a parent. The parents in the room will know, to some degree or another, how easily condemnation's voice can be whispered in your ear. You're a failure. You should have been better. Your mistakes have ruined them. We are tuned to hear the voice of condemnation. But here's the thing. Satan has been a liar from the very beginning. John 8:44 says, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Every lie that we hear and believe finds its conception in Satan. So there is therefore now no condemnation. That's the next thing I want you to highlight if you're a highlighting person in your Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation. Let me be really clear. That sentence, even just as it stands right there, if the full stop existed there, there is therefore now no condemnation. Full stop. That is eternity-altering stuff. The fact that God could look at any single person in this room, or if you're watching online, if God could look at any single one of us and declare no condemnation, right? That should shock us. It's meant to. When the first people who received this letter from Paul in Rome one Sunday morning, they were there singing, you know, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us" or something. And then someone said, "Now we've got to read a letter out from our friend Paul." And someone got up, unrolled the scroll, and they said, hey, you know that guy Paul that we've all been hearing about? We're hoping he's going to come visit us one day. He sent us a letter and they started reading it. I can imagine sort of almost a gasp of shock when we get to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The idea that God could look at a human person and say there is no condemnation is radically different from what our experience tells us and what we should understand as we've been reading through the Bible. Let me be very clear though. This doesn't say that there's no judgment. It doesn't say there is therefore now no judgment. It says there's no condemnation. And there's an important distinction that we need to make between the two. When a person, one of us, if we were unfortunate enough to stand in a court of law accused of a crime, the judge does two things. Firstly, he passes judgment. That's the process of weighing up the evidence, assessing the character, referencing the standard of law to determine how it has been broken, and then passes a judgment of guilt or innocence. The second thing a judge does, if the person is judged guilty, the judge then passes sentence. This is where, based on the position of guilt, a suitable punishment is pronounced, right? That sentence or that punishment is the condemnation of the court. So here's the thing. This is what Romans has been telling us so far. Your sin has already been judged. And you, along with all humanity born under Adam, have been found guilty. Precisely why Romans 8 verse 1 may be the very most important verse in the Bible for you to grasp a hold of today. There is therefore now, and we're sitting there in the dock waiting to hear the sentence because we know that we've been judged guilty, right? Your heart tells you, the Bible tells you, your conscience tells you, God's law tells you, I am guilty. Now I'm just waiting for the hammer to fall. And then we hear, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's finish the sentence. Those, you could circle that one, that tells us who this applies to. And more specifically, you could underline in Christ Jesus. This verse tells us who this statement of no condemnation is going to be applied to. Otherwise, if the full stop was just at the end of there is therefore now no condemnation, full stop, Paul's going to move on to gifts or something else that we're going to get to in, say, chapter 12 or 13 or whatever. If that's where the full stop was, we might fall into an ancient heresy that unfortunately is still popularized today. There's a heresy by the name of universalism. It says that because God loves the entire world and because Jesus died for the sins of the entire world, then it can be concluded that the entire world will be saved. In 2011, the then widely acclaimed American pastor Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. And if, by some chance, a copy of this book is sitting on one of your shelves, my advice would be to burn it. Burn it so that it doesn't accidentally get picked up by someone else who may read it and believe the garbage that's filled in its pages. And let me be as bold and as clear as I can be here. If you were to stand before God right now, if you were to stand before God right now, and here's the distinction, apart from Christ, separate from Christ, then you would be judged guilty, the same as everybody else, but then also receive the condemnation of God. Condemned to eternal separation from your Creator. And I wish that there was a better way to convey that, that could sugarcoat that or make it more palatable, but there isn't. Sin, death, and hell are meant to be repulsive, right? They should make us recoil in horror. They were never meant to be designed for God's chosen children, beloved by Him, made in His image. Which is why the alternative, God's great plan of redemption, is so beautiful. And why it's such wonderful news, why it could be called gospel, which simply means good news. The good news that in Christ, those who are joined to Him, under His wings, connected to Him, found their forgiveness in Him, in Christ, those who would otherwise be judged guilty as falling short of God's glory, receive righteousness instead of rejection. And that's why this verse is the most important verse for you to grasp this morning. You walk through the door and we hear messages of condemnation all day long. You're not good enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not young enough. You're not old enough. You're not something enough. That's the message that we hear over and over again. And we may be tempted to believe that as a Christian, as you walk through the door this morning, that you may be hearing God saying, you're not enough. That God condemns you somehow for your failures. So let me say it again. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is such a profoundly important statement that up until Paul wrote it, many people would probably reject outrightly. And so now Paul is going to list a whole cascade of reasoning, right? Arguments to back up or expand on that one single sentence at the beginning of chapter 8. And each one begins with the word for. Let me just start by showing you what it says in verse 2. Let's remind ourselves, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So you would underline that word for. And I wish we had enough time to run through the entire breakdown of this waterfall of reasoning that Paul gives us in chapter 8, tracing the flow of thought and building a comprehensive confidence in everything that Paul has just said, but we don't have that time. Someone will turn my mic off as well. So instead, I want to show you a summary of my markup of this passage. This is a common practice that I do whenever I'm studying a passage. I mark up with highlights and underlines, and I've got a sort of a method that I do it. And in particular, I want you to see the links that were made with the word for. Okay, you probably can't read all of that. It's just a visual to show you. In fact, if you're interested in learning how to do this, come and chat with me, because I would love, like maybe one Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, we can get pizza, pull some tables out. Won't be preaching. It'll just be like sit around the Bible's open, pages open, and I'll run you through some basic techniques of ways that you can mark up your Bible. So let me know if that's interesting to you, and we'll make that happen. But I want you to notice on that page, that's just 1 through 27, it's not even the whole chapter, underlined in, I think in red, I can't see that one, but in red, there's a bunch of like four, 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 all the way down. And then I've got some green underlines there or circles, that's kind of shows some big statements that shift the reasoning. And then I've blocked in five sections in those 27 verses that sort of follow the reasoning that Paul gives. So here are those five things. We're just going to summarize those five things. The first one, we've already basically done the foundations for, at least Romans 8 verses 1 through 4. This is a freedom from condemnation. This is the main theme of the first four verses of this chapter, freedom from condemnation. So let's just read the four verses. We've already read the first two. Let's pick it up in verse 3. For, there's another four, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So the first four verses is Paul kind of arguing for this idea that there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus based on what Christ has done. And this is his first kind of flow of reasoning. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of death and sin. You have been rescued. There's been a prison break. Like God burst down the chains. He smashed down the doors. He's pulled you out of prison, and he says the law of Spirit has set you free. The law of Jesus Christ has set you free. His first reasoning. Because God has done something the law could never do. That's his next reasoning. All of that is to lead us to the fact that we can be confident that there is freedom that we can experience as Christians today. Those who are known by God and who follow after Jesus, there is freedom to know that you truly stand in a place where God does not condemn you. So that's the first section. Let's move on though to section number two. It starts at verse 5. This is where the main focus of this is really to focus your mind on the Spirit. This is where Paul doesn't want people to live in fear of God's condemnation, but neither does he want people just to sit back and go, well, you know, happy days, no condemnation, I'll just keep on living life however I want. So he says, no, what's our response to this position of freedom that we've experienced? Well, let's read. Focus your mind on the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, let's read down to 8, verse 5, down to verse 11. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, as I'm reading, I want you to notice